Konnichiwa, my fellow Tamago Tomodachis. We're back at it again with another episode of the Baka to Baka podcast. Back with episode 8. This one's actually really exciting because we're actually here live from the Baka to Baka studios here in Virginia. So usually we're on call with each other over Discord, but today we are all here gathered around a table for a live recording session with two live audience members right here in the back. Yeah, so here we have Tim.
Hello.
And our third guest?
Our third guest,
Dominic.
My little brother.
And our two live studio audience, my brother Aaron and Tuber.
Woo! It's actually pretty crazy because Aaron came to visit. Like, how it all started was Aaron came to visit for 2 weeks. And I don't know why we didn't think of it sooner. We were like, we were hashing out, like, what the next episode would be about. And then I was like, dude, why don't you just come here when you're picking up Aaron?
Yeah.
Back home. Holy cow.
Genius.
Like, this is our first live session.
Mm-hmm.
I'm looking at him dead in the eyes.
I can physically touch him, but I won't because I'll probably get sued.
Also, we'd probably be breaking quarantine. I don't know if my thing's on. I pressed, but then it stopped. Uh-oh.
Technical difficulties.
So we're trying to do a 3-mic setup, but we're using 2 machines. Dominic, let me see.
Did you even push it?
Yeah, I pressed it. It gave me the
3, 2, 1.
It gave me that. And then we started recording.
Oh, no. So let me cut to after we figure all this out. I'm very sorry. All right, and we're back. Sorry about that, ladies and gentlemen. We had a little bit of technical
difficulties. We've been having technical difficulties for like 2 hours now, just trying to set this up.
We've been here
for
2 whole hours. Behind the scenes, mm-hmm. This took about like an hour and a half to set
almost
up.
Yeah, it was like an hour and a half, almost two.
Maybe?
No, yeah, maybe an hour and a half.
Sure. Anyway, well, we will introduce our guest again. That is Dominic, my brother.
Hello. Thank you for having me. I'm glad to be here. Glad to talk about the topic today. Near and dear to my heart.
Welcome. So today's episode will be about a very beloved franchise. Pretty much like around the world, right? And it's been around for almost 30 years. We were just talking about this yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
It was just like, dude, Pokemon is older than Dominic and Tuber.
Well, all three of them.
Well, all three of them, yeah. And Aaron, too.
Came out 96, at least in the U.S.
Mm-hmm. So yeah, that's that franchise is known as Pokemon. Because I know we talked about it in the last episode, we really want to like dive into this because it's,
yeah,
it's like something that we've still do,
mm-hmm.
like cherish and enjoy playing whatever game it could be.
As long as it's good.
As long as it's good. But so yeah, we're gonna be talking about, you know, our beginnings in Pokemon. Talk about like the games throughout the history of it, and we'll just go from there. So yeah, let's start. So let's start with how we usually go.
Mm-hmm.
How was your 2 weeks before this episode?
Nothing much too exciting, really.
Mm-hmm.
Now that I think about it, I really don't know what I did in the last 2 weeks.
Just chilled out. It like these 2 weeks before we record. Like, it goes by in a flash.
Mm-hmm.
As before, when we first started out, during, like, the beginning of the pandemic, we're like, it felt like it was, like, a month,
mm-hmm.
right? But now we're, like, so used to it.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I would say not too much of an update. Well, aside from my Timprint store, the Drop 2 is coming out
mm-hmm.
on the 24th of this month.
Nice.
So whoever's listening, be on the lookout for that. Yeah, other than that, Aaron's been here for the last, like, week and a half.
2 weeks. Yeah, almost 2 weeks now.
Almost 2 weeks.
Yeah, 2 weeks.
2 weeks. 2 weeks tomorrow. And they've been busy doing their own things. Always eating out every day.
Peterson's ice cream.
Ice cream.
That place. Not sponsored.
Not sponsored by Peterson.
None of the places sponsoring us. Yeah, other than that.
Yeah, nothing too exciting.
Really looking forward to you being here. Because, like we said, this is our first live session. And it's great.
And we're thinking about doing...
Doing it more. For sure. Because it's always nice to have it, like, face-to-face. Like, over Discord, it's, like, fine.
But it's not it doesn't have the same feel.
It would not replace being able to look into your beautiful eyes.
Thank you. And me looking at your beautiful, luscious beard.
You can actually see it this time.
Yeah.
That was, like, the first thing, like, he commented after we said hi. He was like, I finally get to see
the real thing.
To see
it with my own eyes. I get to worship it with my own eyes.
Yeah, other than that, any anime news?
For the 2 weeks, not much. I guess the only thing really exciting is so KyoAni is actually recruiting again for their studios.
Oh, dang.
Yeah, that's cool. What do I have here? Okay, so this one's actually pretty interesting. Japanese man turns his home into a game arcade. So he literally has like the arcade you've seen in Japan, right?
Yeah.
And you've seen, and I'm pretty sure you guys seen like videos and stuff like that. But yeah, he actually has like his own kind of set game arcade setup at home. Yeah.
Wow. Pretty awesome. I wonder how long that took to put together.
And how much?
How much it took?
Yeah. That must have cost a lot of money.
Dang. Like, is it like a as big as like the Sega arcades?
Let me see.
I probably not, but
just skimming through this article here. Yeah, it doesn't say how big it was, but yeah, he has a lot of stuff,
like a lot of games.
Oh yeah,
like pretty much just like all cabinets or imagine if he had like gacha machines just randomly.
I think he has some of those too,
or like crane games.
Yeah,
that would be sick.
You've heard of a Toreba, right?
The what?
Toreba.
Yeah. We did that one before, and then like I realized that you had to pay to get more to be able to get the free stars every so often.
So like they have like online rewards, and you can get like tickets, like free plays, pretty much.
I couldn't get the free plays.
Oh really?
Even unless you were like paid for.
Really?
Tickets initially, yeah. That's why Aaron and I stopped.
Oh,
we got our free tickets, and then you can't like delete and then re-download the game to get more free tickets.
Oh, true.
You can't.
They have like the information. Mm-hmm. But that'd be cool if he did something like that with his stuff. Because why would you have a crane game and you're like the only one playing? Like you can just open it up and take
just
the prize.
Take your prize. But I think it'd be fun to like, you know, if say like there's a new like Gunpla that you bought, but like you kind of saving yourself to do it, right? True. And you can only make it after you like win it from your crane game.
Yeah, that'd be a cool way to do it. See, now I want one. I just want a crane game.
I think that'd be fun. Just like have in your house.
Mm-hmm. Have it in your house.
And then just play.
Yeah. That'll be a lot of fun.
Mm-hmm. But we can like, there. We can all just like train ourselves so when we actually all go back to Japan again.
We'd be masters.
I mean, I won what, like 2 prizes already?
I thought it was 3. Was it 2?
I think it was 2. I only had the plushie.
And the figure.
Yeah, true.
That was one thing I didn't get to do.
Was what? Those
crane games. Yeah, we didn't because we just kept traveling, getting food, looking for stuff for like Super and whatever. Yeah, so we never got to play. We just got to look at it and go inside. Yeah. That's the one thing I missed out. I was so sad.
Yeah, you missed out because like when you win something, like not only are you excited, dude, the people working there are like excited for you.
That's the one thing I really wanted to do, but we just didn't get any time to do it. Oh.
Dang.
Next time, though. Next time.
Next time. Next time.
Unfortunate
when everything's safe.
Yeah, as soon as I saw one, like when my friends went, it was like instant, like I lost $10 like easily.
But you were close to winning a couple when I got there.
I know, like what was it, that one Pokemon one I really wanted. Milo. You're gonna be hearing a lot of him. I think it was like a Gengar, maybe. Was it? Or a Snorlax?
It might have been a Snorlax.
I think it was a Snorlax. Might have been one. Snorlax. So close.
Yeah.
And then like the other One Piece figures that I wanted to get to. But I wasn't as fortunate as you were.
Well, I would say that the figure that I got, I think I would say that's like collaborative.
Oh yeah.
Because like true. I was literally like, okay, this is my last like 200 yen.
Dude, and he got it.
No. So I was like on my last 200 yen, and then I remember you were like, oh, here, let me pitch in like
a couple more.
So literally, like, I felt like your last 200 yen is what, because it was funny because you gave me the yen, and then you were just like, okay, like, you should go here and then lift it up from this side.
Oh, that's right.
And that's what we did, right? Yeah. And then we won the box.
Yeah.
And I remember we were just like, yo, let's go. Yeah. Like, you're so happy for it. And then even the chick that was working was so happy for it. Mm-hmm. It was so funny.
Is that the fate?
Yeah. The noodle version. Stopper.
The noodle stopper. Yeah.
I put that on my noodles every time I make noodle now.
Oh, man. To have that in your own home, like just arcades in general.
That'd be fun.
That'd be sick.
Are they all like filled? Like stuff with the actual stuff.
I mean, he probably had to fill it himself,
right? Or is it like his own stuff that he put in there?
I'm pretty sure he bought, and then he had him like moved into wherever he put it in.
Mm-hmm. I don't know why I think of Animal Crossing, getting just the arcade machines and the crannies, and then just making your own arcade little area in like your basement.
There was one news that I wanted to say, but I forget. But it might have been, like, sad news, because it was, like, pretty depressing. Can't think of it. Oh, one thing that we did do while you were here was we finally watched Weathering with you.
That's right, we did.
Yeah.
We did watch
with all of us. That was one that I've wanted to watch for a while.
Mm-hmm. Well, it was really funny, because I remember when you first pitched it, you were like, yeah, I'll just get it, and then we can just, like, you'll just, like, stream share it on, like, Discord, and we'll watch it together.
Yeah.
But I'm actually really glad we actually got to just sit down and all together and just watch it.
Yeah, it, like, worked out so perfectly. Mm-hmm. But it was weird, too, because, like, when I said I would buy it, it wasn't on Amazon for, like, it was, like, a pre-order still.
Mm-hmm.
And then we checked yesterday. It's still pre-ordered to September, but I thought they said they were releasing it in June, but I guess they didn't.
Unless it got pushed back, I don't know.
Maybe, I don't know. Yeah, overall, movie... Like what you said when we watched it last night, solid 8.
Yeah, it's a solid 8. Definitely not, in my opinion, definitely not better than Your Name,
mm-hmm.
other than the quality of the animation, like we talked about. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because we were talking about it, it was like everything that led up to the kind of like towards the end, or like even when he was getting her back, it did feel kind of rushed. Or, like, not rushed in the sense of, like, he was, like, doing it too fast. It was more like it felt forced, you know?
Yeah.
And then, like, their reunion when he went up there to get her from the, I guess, the cloud.
Whatever. Cloud top, cloud oasis, whatever it is,
Or I guess he called it heaven. Their reunion was, like, you know, like, way too short.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I guess I get it. Like, he was like, all right, we gotta go.
But I felt like something was missing from that part.
Yeah, I mean, that's what I'm saying. It's like, you don't just, like, go say you're gonna grab somebody, bring them back, and not have, like, a heartfelt reunion.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I guess they did it while they were falling.
I don't know. It's kind of like, he went up there, grabbed her, they fell, and then they're just laying there at the little gate thing.
Yeah.
And that was it.
Yeah. Like, they weren't even, like, awake when they came back, which is kind of sucked, too. Yeah, it didn't have the same impact as Your Name did when they, like, before they departed.
Mm-hmm.
That one was like, oh, my heart.
In the feels, yeah.
Yeah. And then when they reunited, it was like...
Oh, even more in the videos.
My heart.
Yeah, my heart cracked.
But yeah, no, overall, it was a solid movie. I would definitely recommend watching it. I mean, it's Makoto Shinkai. Mm-hmm.
Soundtrack,
A+. Soundtrack is definitely A+. Yeah.
A+. 11/10.
11/10.
All of them slap. So hard. But yeah, no, that was a good movie. I would definitely watch it again. Games? Any new games?
The Last of Us 2.
The Last of Us 2. You're way more...
I'm more ahead than you.
You're way more ahead than I.
It's fun. I'm having a good time.
Yeah.
I think it's good so far. But a lot... I don't know what the critics were saying, but everyone online that was bashing it, it's not as bad as they were saying it was, so...
I mean, you have to follow up to what The Last of Us was. That's pretty big shoes to fill.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's true, but I just... I don't know. I wish they didn't flame it as hard. Because then it lowered my expectations for the game. But then when you start playing it, it's fine. It's not bad at all.
Yeah, I think that's why I'm kind of going into it trying to not read reviews for the game. Mm-hmm. Like, I just want to be able to experience it for myself.
Yeah.
Before judging it by reading other people's reactions to it.
Yeah.
Yeah, and like I said, following up on The Last of Us, like, the anticipation is so high. Like, find out what happens after. Everyone's, like, emotions are, like, running high. And definitely your expectations. I feel like even if it is a great game, like, once you start it, this is, like, how I felt when I started it. Once you start a game that you're anticipating to play, to continue from the last one, you do kind of get let down already.
Because
when you play the previous one, you had zero expectations.
Yeah.
You rode that high from, like, minute one. Like, the beginning of The Last of Us is, like, the first one was just, like, holy crap.
Mm-hmm.
This one is just, like, oh my gosh, I'm coming back. But with the beginning of The Last of Us 2, I'll just say it's, like, it doesn't start out the same emotional, like, high as the first one did, like, for me. So I could see why people were, like, in the beginning, they were, like, whatever.
So whatever, yeah.
Yeah. But you definitely have to, like, play through the game to, like, really give it a good a good review about it. And it's funny that you guys mentioned the reviews and ratings. Metacritic now, they are telling people to withhold their reviews until after 36 hours of playing the game. So that way they don't, like, just bomb ratings, like, right off the bat. Which is why I hate reading reviews in the first place, in the beginning, like, once the game comes out. Because it's, like, people just, they always base it off of, like, the first, like, hour, 2 hours.
It's, like, immediate reaction.
Mm-hmm. It's, like, oh, I didn't like how it started, so it's going to be a crap game.
Yeah, yeah.
It's, like, you gotta play it.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, I can't really say anything else aside from, like, the 2 hours that I played it, so.
And there is one section of the game where it definitely is slow, but then after, once you get past that part, then it'll be, it's fine.
Yeah.
I like it so far.
But other than that, like I said the last time, it's Valorant.
Oh my gosh.
And now, Dominic, you're playing it now.
Valorant is so much fun.
Yeah.
I love that, like, game.
Dominic and Aaron have been on a grind.
We've been grinding.
I
haven't grinded this hard since I started playing Warzone for the first time with
like, that you guys did, like, your 20 unrated.
Yeah, we did that within, like, technically a day.
And then so, you guys did your 5 placements.
Yup.
And then you guys have been grinding. Well, you've been grinding since bronze.
Yeah.
And now you're silver, right?
No, since
or iron.
Iron, then bronze, and now I'm silver.
Nice. Dang, that's a climb.
Yeah, it's been a climb. It's fun.
And it's kind of weird because Valorant's rank system is kind of crap. Because you don't really know when you're going to rank up. There's no, like, number system to see, like, where you're at.
Yeah, you just see the, like, up arrow or the down arrow saying, like, if you slightly increase or if you greatly increase your MMR and stuff.
It's, mm-hmm.
it's just a guessing game.
Right. Yeah, other than that, last 2 weeks have been pretty chill. I guess we could just get to the meat of it now. Pokemon.
Oh, yeah.
And the reason why we brought Dominic on board is because he's the younger generation that played the newer generation after Ivan and I played, like, up to... Well, you played up to
Ruby. I played Ruby, yeah.
Like, the last one I, like, fully, like, finished and completed was Gold and Silver.
Mm-hmm.
After that, like, I knew...
Like, the original... Not the Soul Silver...
No, the original Gold and Silver. Okay. Yeah, yeah. After that, like, I knew some of the Pokemons after that Pokemon after that generation, but after that, I didn't follow it until I got back into it in Sun and Moon. Didn't really finish it because I wasn't feeling it, but then really got back into it again with Sword and Shield because they changed the whole, or they pretty much made it open world, which is really sweet. But yeah, so Dominic's going to be filling in the gaps for us, for the most part.
Mm-hmm.
Because Yeah, I didn't like any of the generations.
There's a lot. After hours.
I started questioning some of the choices
lot,
of...
a lot of special Pokemon out there of, that they've yeah. chosen to do. Mm-hmm. Make.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, and they changed like a lot of things in like now that we never would have thought would have happened back then. Yeah, so let's start with the very classic question that everyone always asks people. What type would be your starter?
Fire, easy.
Fire, easy. Simple.
Water. I will always... So let's start with the generation one, or first gen, or fire red.
Red. Red and blue.
Red and blue and yellow.
So yeah, so Charmander, Bulbasaur, Squirtle.
Charmander. Obviously.
Squirtle, you guys one. Are whack.
No, you're whack.
You're whack, man. Charizard, dog.
Okay, but can we talk about, like, nobody ever picks Bulbasaur?
France is the only one that likes Bulbasaur.
Really?
Yeah. I mean, I like Bulbasaur, but I would never choose him first.
Like, he's such an underrated...
Super underrated.
Yeah. Pokemon... But as a starter, though, I was just kind of like, nah, you gotta go Charmander.
No way.
He's like my third or fourth run through of the game when I restarted. Yeah. I'm like, I'll try Bulbasaur. You know, why not?
Right. But Bulbasaur, I like Bulbasaur, but as a starter, nah.
Yeah,
I'll find you later.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Or hopefully, like, or trade for you later. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Oh, yeah, because...
The starters then, you could only trade.
Back then, it was that Link thing with the Game Boys, the only way to trade.
When everybody used to plug in their Game Boys together.
Yep. Dude, yeah, the actual, like, tethered mm-hmm.
Yeah, the tethered. Yep. And it would show, like, the little animation, like, showing it's going through the tether. And oh, so I thought that was so cool.
Those were the days. Squirtle Squad all the way. Uh-huh. Super. Yeah, you got my back? Yeah. Aaron, who would you choose?
Squirtle.
Hey.
You're lying.
But yeah, I mean that it is kind of still a hot debate, like which type would you choose mm-hmm. first, right?
Oh, for sure.
But fire and water are always like the top dogs. No one ever says grass.
Mm-hmm.
Nope. Like usually ever. Not.
Well, I think I always like part of me also wanted to just always pick Charmander,
mm-hmm.
just because I don't know why the game. They chose it to be like, okay, if you pick something, they'll pick something that trumps your Pokemon, right?
Right.
So, like, I didn't ever want to get, like, Bulbasaur, because then, you know, he'd get Charmander.
Fire.
And right. I'm like, nah, you can't have that.
Yeah,
I'm not
yeah.
having that. Yeah, like, I would have been fine. I would have been fine, like, picking Squirtle, too, because, like, he'd get Bulbasaur. Mm-hmm. And I'd be like, nah, you're trash.
Yeah, right? yeah.
But, yeah, I would always pick just, like, Charmander.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, so I guess whoever listened to the last episode, how I got into Pokemon was, I don't remember. Was it the games first? No, it was. So those Lunchables used to have, like, in the back, just like the Pokemon, like, collectible cutouts.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember in Germany, they would be delayed on, like, the show. Like, it didn't really come out until the same time. Especially being on base, you get everything late, right?
Mm-hmm.
Well, I guess you're in Japan, doesn't matter. I remember watching the cartoon, I was like, man, this is so cool. And then when we would get Lunchables and get those cards, I thought those were, like, the sweetest things. And then went to Seattle to visit family. And then one of, like, childhood best friends at the time. I was like, oh, have you heard of Pokemon? And I showed him, like, the stupid mm-hmm. cardboard cutouts. I was like, these are the coolest things ever. He was like, let me show you what's really up.
Mm-hmm.
Brought me to the mall. Or he would show me his, like, collection. And I was like, what the heck is this? I need this. Mm-hmm. Like, I want this, like, right now. Go to the mall. Go to, like, a hobby store. And they had, like, the starter decks and stuff like that. And then I watched him, like, play somebody in, like, a whatever friendly match. And I was like, dude, I have to get this. And I begged my mom, like, so hard. Can I get the starter pack? And it was the electric and psychic starter pack. So it had Pikachu, and the holographic card was Mewtwo.
Nice.
Oh.
Ever since then, I was like hooked.
So you actually played like the card game?
Yeah, the trading card game. Yeah.
Like, I never played it. How it's supposed to be played, or like yeah. The, you put it down and you pretend like Charizard used whatever the move is, and then you just take off however many hit points it's.
Yeah. So off. Like you play when you play the trading card game, you put your basic out first, and in your like standby field, you could have up to 6 or 5. And then you have to like go through the proper like elemental cards to put to use their moveset, whatever they ask for.
Like your elementals and your energy cards and stuff.
Exactly. Yeah, energy cards. And I forgot what the process was for evolving them. Do you remember what it was?
It was, I don't remember because I played the Game Boy.
Yeah, the trading card game.
That's how I learned how to actually play the game.
That game was god tier. Oh gosh, and we're back for the feels
third
like the
or fourth time.
Time,
something like that. Something like that. I don't know. Right? It's been sorry, it's almost been 3 hours.
Technical difficulty. Forever. Okay, so we're gonna go back to we were talking about the Pokemon TCG.
Yes.
And evolution. We were talking about the process of evolution.
Yeah.
So what was it again?
So basically, how it works is you can, as long as you have the Pokemon that you want to evolve into, like the next stage, because there could be stage 1 and then there could be a stage 2. And so as long as you have it in your deck, you're able to evolve the Pokemon, whether it's in the bench or on the playing, if it's active. And so all you have to do is just place it. Right. You place it on top of it, and that's your turn. Order. Yes, it has to be in the right order, so stage 1, then stage 2, mm-hmm. unless it has some other prerequisites where you can skip it. But,
okay, yeah. Alright, yeah. So.
And then yeah, it's really simple.
Yeah. So basically, the trading card game was my first exposure to, like, understanding what Pokemon were.
Okay. Yeah, I never played the actual card game, just because I think for me at the time, it was, like, really complicated.
Yeah.
So I just never really got into it. Mm-hmm. I more or less just got the cards just as a collector's item.
Right. Yeah. And it wasn't until... because the game was out already.
I think it was, yeah.
Not in tandem with the trading card.
No.
I didn't get the actual video game until after that. And what I got was... I think Red? I don't remember. I want to say it's Red. But I was a rebel and chose Squirtle as my very first starter. Because my love for turtles trumped anything that they had to offer, and I love Charmander too, but I love turtles, so it was like a no-brainer for me to pick Squirtle as my starter. And I guess now that we've known, you chose Charmander as your first, but did you have Red or Blue?
I had both.
I had both. Actually, yeah. Ooh.
Dang, okay.
Because, like,
big flex.
So, you know, each version has, like, certain Pokemon that you can only get playing each game, right?
Right, right.
Yeah, I end up getting both.
Nice. I don't remember what the version exclusives were.
I don't remember either. But I just know you can only get certain Pokemon playing a certain game.
Version exclusives, I forget which one. It's Vulpix and Arcanine, I think, were the. I think they were.
Or, like, Vulpix and.
That, or it was. Ekans and. Zubat? No, Zubat was always there. It was.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know why I feel like it was Vulpix and Arc and
I mean, that might be it.
Growlithe.
Yeah, Growlithe. That might be it. What was I gonna say?
I could be completely wrong though.
Back then, because there wasn't any like internet to look up, like I guess guides or like whatever, like what you're missing out on. I never really knew that they were exclusive, really. Because I think when me and my friend, or my friends and I were playing, we didn't really, like, care too much. Mm-hmm. Like, I didn't, I mean, obviously in the Pokedex, you're like, oh, I'm missing something. But I think because we were, like, just easily trading with each other, not knowing that what we were missing, we were trading.
Mm-hmm.
like, I didn't really know, like, what the exclusives were for, like, each game.
Yeah.
We didn't really care.
There were actually a lot. Holy cow.
Really?
So for Blue, you could get Ekans, Arbok, Oddish and Gloom, and Vileplume. Mankey and Primeape? Really?
What?
You couldn't even get Mankey and Primeape in red. And then, Arcanine, Growlithe, Arcanine, Scyther, Electabuzz, and Mew.
I never, like...
Well, Mew was for both, and then... For red, it was Sandshrew and Sandslash, Bellsprout, Weepin' Bell, Victory Bell, Meowth, Virgin, Vulpix, Ninetales, Pinsir, and Magmar.
That's a lot.
Yeah, that's a lot more than I thought. I thought it was only, like, the Ekans, Arbok kind of thing.
I always, like, just thought, man, I suck at finding these guys.
Yeah, it's like, dude, I'm having, like, the worst luck.
Yeah.
Because, like, I think in your Pokédex, it shows you where.
Where they are.
So
like
when you
habitat.
End up going there and you're spending just, like, hours upon hours, and you're just like, dude, why can't I find, like, what I'm looking for?
I suck at this game. But, yeah, we were, like, always trading. Like, it was never a problem.
Mm-hmm.
But I never really thought about the exclusives. But it wasn't until I played Gold and Silver that I was like, oh, they have their own.
Mm-hmm.
That's why they have two. I was like, why would they make two versions of the same game?
Yeah.
I was like, oh, because they have their own thing. Cool. Yeah, so then Pokemon came from, for me, being introduced as a cartoon, the trading card game, and then to the actual. And then from then on, it was just the anime in general was mm-hmm. like what I loved about Pokemon in general. And then, like what we were talking before, the first gen, and then the second gen, which is Gold and Silver, those starters were fire also.
Yeah, they were.
Yes.
But
Cyndaquil.
I love the fire more than I love the water type.
Mm-hmm.
Which
you
is Cyndaquil.
Cyndaquil
was
the
cute as
best.
Heck.
I love
like that little fur ball.
I'm
of
not
fire.
Gonna lie. So this gen, I actually liked Chikorita.
Yeah, Chikorita was great too.
I was like, I think I spent one gameplay like actually using Chikorita as a starter.
Nice. Like the first time around, or
no, definitely not the first time.
Yeah,
the first
you
time
chose Cyndaquil.
I'm always like,
fire. Yeah, always fire, right?
Or maybe it was like, so for that game, I also had Gold and Silver.
Okay.
So I think maybe for Silver, I definitely played Cyndaquil.
Mm-hmm.
And I think maybe for Gold, I think I did start with...
Chikorita?
Chikorita on my second,
yeah,
second
time. Oh, okay.
The first time, too, I did Totodile.
Totodile, yeah.
Yeah, Totodile, I definitely would choose Chikorita over Totodile, I think.
What?
I like Chikorita
okay,
a lot better.
Those three starters, it is kind of tough for me to... Be like, oh, I'd choose one over the other. Mm-hmm. Like, they're all cute as crap, like really, really mm-hmm. cute.
But for you, it's definitely Cyndaquil.
But Cyndaquil,
yeah, Cyndaquil.
I was like, oh my god, you're like a dog.
Yeah,
you know, you're like a cute, or you're like a cute little like aardvark dog.
It's like a
like an anteater kind of
like
thing.
An anteater hedgehog
dog. But he was like super cute. And I can't really recall if the game came out first or the anime.
I want to say
the game first, right?
Yeah,
because they were like prepping to introduce mm-hmm. the new. Because the first gen Pokemon or anime in the Johto region, that lasts
a
long time,
mm-hmm.
like a really long. So then when the Gold and Silver came out, I was like, oh my god, it's so cute. And then the anime came out, I was like. Solidify that Cyndaquil is cute as
mm-hmm.
crap. Like his voice actor or whatever is top notch.
It's so funny to think that, you know, for like a creature kind of thing, mm-hmm. you have a voice actor.
Right?
It's so funny.
Yeah, yeah. And that season of Pokemon was lit.
Yeah, like, that was really good.
That would be like the only time I felt like super hyped about a new region, which was the oh no, it's Kanto and then Johto. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And like their badge design for the leaders
mm-hmm.
was like next level.
Mm-hmm.
I was so hyped to play that game. That I would say if I had to choose which game to play forever, it would be Gold for me. Cause Gold like stepped it up a notch in terms of like the new Pokemon that came out, the gym leader designs, mm-hmm. and like the gameplay didn't change too much, but just like the land and surrounding area,
yeah.
Because it was so new, I was like you can't get any better than this,
right?
Like they really like made it a better sequel.
I don't remember. So Dominic, I'm gonna ask you this question. Like, if you remember, because I know you enjoyed Heart Gold and Soul Silver.
And I also played Gold because we had it.
Yeah, you played my game.
I played your game. That's how I got into Pokemon.
Yeah. So my question for you is, I don't remember in the original Gold and Silver if you were able to do Johto and then Kanto.
Yes, you can. You could, yeah. Because you were, because when Gold and Silver came out, that's when they introduced being able to face going to Kanto as well, and you'd be able to face on Mount Silver Red, yeah. Which was such a cool idea.
And he was hard.
He was really hard, and being able to challenge all the gym leaders again too. So you do the double.
You had to get all 16.
You had to get all 16. Yeah, so you would face all the ones in Johto, fight the league, and then you can go to Kanto, mm-hmm. fight them again, then go back to the league, and you'd reface. I forget who. I don't know if it was Lance.
Lance.
It's
always the same.
It's always Lance, but he has I think he either has a different team or it's
he has a different team.
It's a different team.
People, it's just a different team.
Yeah. And then you can go to Mount Silver,
but they were
facing
like,
Red.
They're like harder.
They're even harder. Yeah, even harder. And being able to face Red was such a cool idea, I thought.
Yeah, see that to me was like revolutionary. Like for a new game you would have thought, okay, it's just gonna be this region itself. But when you finish the game, it was like, okay, you fight the Elite Four, but now you get to enjoy the first gen
going
all over
back.
Again.
Yeah. Yeah.
But with your new Pokemon. Mm-hmm. I thought that was like the coolest thing.
Yeah, for sure.
It's so nice how they like combine. So like they're both in the same universe. It's not like a completely different.
Yeah.
They're like tied together.
For sure. And so like that expanded like the lore of like the origins of mm-hmm. Pokemon, or, you know, how like we were talking about in the car, like the first gen was like, there's 150
there's
known Pokemon.
Only 150 known.
Known right? Pokemon,
that's
right?
That's where they were pitching.
And then the second game came out, and they didn't... Did they do a new 150? No, right?
No, it wasn't 150.
It was like 80?
It was... I
definitely thought it was at least another 100. Another 100.
It was definitely a lot. But I don't remember if it was like another 150.
I thought it was another 100. Not 150.
Yeah.
At least another 100.
So, like, back then as a kid, you're like, oh my god, this is great, right? And then now getting into, like, the version after that and after that and after that. Like, the story is starting to get, like, so convoluted.
Convoluted, maybe a little repetitive.
A little repetitive, for sure.
Right.
It was 80. 80 new Pokemon in Johto. Wow. That was
added. I was dead on. right, convoluted. Repetitive and all that stuff, and then the names and Pokemon designs started getting really weird.
Very lazy, I think
lazy, or I guess that's like the best word to use, like lazy, because, you know, it's like, oh, now it's like a super popular thing, like we can do whatever now, we can just make whatever. As a kid seeing the new 80, I was like, oh my gosh, so you really don't know how many Pokemon there are in this universe.
Yeah.
Only 150 known. But there's more now. As a kid, you're excited. But then as you get older, like we were saying, it's
like, start realizing, wait, like, that doesn't make sense. Because
how can you...
If we're all living in the same world. So imagine, like, you know, because I live in Maryland, right? You guys are here in Virginia. So if I was the Kanto region, I was like, okay, there's only 150 Pokemon, right? But I could be talking to you like real time and be like, yeah, there's only 150. But you'd be looking at me
like, no, there's like
a dumbass,
than that.
You
yeah.
know, like, be like, what are you talking about? There's more, because you have
the other 80
in your region, right?
Mm-hmm.
And it's just so weird to me to think like that. You know?
Yeah.
What did you want to say?
I just fact checked myself again. It's actually, it's 100.
Oh, it's 100?
It's 100.
Okay.
So there was 251 when Gold and Silver came out.
Dang.
It was a
hundo. I was wrong.
Right. Yeah, so there's even more.
Uh-huh. Okay, but yeah, so like building a story like that, like, it doesn't make sense. Cuz like, how can that region not know anything about the outside world? It's just, it knows
it's a major plot hole.
It is a huge plot hole. Cuz like, even with like the introduction of Mew.
Right.
Who is like the original, apparently the original Pokemon that everything is based out of. Then you're thinking like, okay, so there has to be more than 150. Mm-hmm. But the fact that the game says that it only knows 150, and then they come out with these other versions, like, you're just like, it's like a carrot on like the, at the end of the thing. Stick. Yeah, so it's like.
You're leading on like the donkey.
Like, imagine if they just introduced the one game and say, as the main character in the beginning, you only know about the 150, and your goal is to find out if there are more in the world. Mm-hmm. As opposed to like, oh, there's only 150. Next game, oh, actually, there's 80, 100 more.
You know, you have Professor Oak.
Yeah.
Hence his title, Professor.
Yeah.
Saying there's only 150, but there's actually more.
Yeah.
That doesn't make sense.
And that's what confused me a lot in the anime, too. Because in the first episode, or one of the episodes, after Ash... Oh, no, it's not the first episode. The episode after he helps Pikachu, and Pikachu, like, accepts him as a trainer, mm-hmm. after the thunder...
Oh, yes.
He sees Ho-Oh.
Yeah, he sees Ho-Oh.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And I remember thinking as a kid, I was like, that was never in the game. Where is that one? Right?
Yeah. It was like a... You didn't see him fully. It was like a silhouette of him.
Yeah, it was a silhouette with like the gold.
Yeah,
like
the gold shimmer.
Right?
And then the.
And at first I was like, that's a big-ass Fearow. Right?
Yeah, yeah.
Like,
yeah.
Dang.
Is that the shiny?
Like, yeah,
is
that the
shiny version of Fearow. Yup.
Oh, God, don't even get started with the shiny stuff now. But as a kid, I was like, man, I'm never going to see that one. Mm-hmm. And then Gold and Silver came. I was like, wait. So Professor Oak in the anime definitely knows there's more than 150. Mm-hmm. He doesn't know exactly who they are or what they are. And that's when, like, after each iteration of the game, the new legendaries come out. It's like, who's the strongest one? Or who actually is that legendary that everybody, like, fears or, like, you know, praises or whatever?
Well, see, that's another thing is, like, okay, so back to, like, Professor Oak, right? And he's like, yeah, there's only 150. But when you start playing, or when you start playing the new ones, or you watch the newer newer ones, he's like, oh, yeah, that's that Pokemon. And all of a sudden, he becomes this expert in the unknown.
And then, like, it's like he didn't even know the Johto region existed. And then when it comes, he's like,
people,
oh, yeah, like, I've been there before,
exactly,
and blah, 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 blah.
People act like they don't know there's more.
But then, like, all of a sudden...
All of a sudden
he has all this knowledge, and he's been there before, and he's I've been there before, and there's more than so-and-so Pokemon.
Right.
And that always confused me, because it never
only,
made
like,
any sense.
Plot hole continuity issue with Pokemon. Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah. Like, now, okay, whatever.
Yeah, now it's like...
There's,
no,
like,
now
800
it's,
plus now.
Yeah, there's 800 plus Pokemon.
800 something?
It's in the low 800s.
Yeah, something like
that.
It's not
past 850, I don't think.
It's just a lot.
A lot.
Yeah, if there's one thing that we can criticize about the Pokemon franchise, is like, why'd you guys set it up like
so
that?
So many plot holes.
Like, you could have just done that from the beginning,
like,
and it would have been fine.
Right, yeah, it's like, I can understand you getting away with it with, like, the younger audience.
Yeah.
Because it'll just completely
We've been there. Yeah.
We were there, we experienced it.
Yeah.
But, like, you know, for us now, like, again, like I said, like, just... thinking about
it hurts the head.
It doesn't make sense.
Yeah, it hurts.
We've been bamboozled for the last, like, 24 years. Yeah, I mean, whatever.
Yeah, what?
It's just, like, a small nitpicky thing, right?
Because
we still love the franchise a lot. What was I going to say? I had it after you, like, said something.
Was it the shiny?
No.
Was it after that?
No, it's still about the story.
Oh, okay, yeah.
Is it about how...
Oh. So now, you know how, like, most anime... They do, like, the time... They portray time, like, pretty well throughout, like, the season. Mm-hmm. Like, there'll be actual, like, time skips, stuff like that. This is the only anime that I know of that Ash has stayed the same age for 24 years.
has not had a birthday.
His journey has been so long.
Mm-hmm.
They portrayed it to look like years. Or they're portraying it to seem like he's done it only in like a matter of like a year or whatever. Mm-hmm. Like, how old is Ash in the anime?
10 years old. Like 10? Still, yeah. 10.
He's still 10? There's no way. How is he doing all of this
he probably journeys through each region like
really fast. Month. Yeah, like really fast. Like a month. And I hate that. I wish he can actually grow up.
Actually, I think that'd be really cool.
Like, see him actually mature as a trainer.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, he's been forever 10.
Forever 10. Forever. How many seasons are
that? Or they just never mention his age, but he's always portrayed as a 10-year-old.
I think it's more, it's understood that he's still the same age.
Yes.
No episode has ever celebrated his birthday.
I don't remember any that have.
And it's not just him, it's everyone. It's
everybody. Yes.
Misty's still the same, Brock's still the same, whatever. Pikachu's still the same. He should be level like a million.
Yeah, he should be level 100, yet he can still lose to a level 5 starter. For instance, when Black and White first came out, like the anime series, he faced Snivy. You know Snivy. Yeah. You liked Snivy.
I like Snivy.
And he was like toe-to-toe with Snivy. It was like just a starter Pokemon. It's like, how is this happening?
I guess it's like the game, right? When you start a new journey.
You start from
level 1. So every region he enters, Pikachu like
just
resets.
Just reset.
Like hard reset.
That would suck.
That's one thing I didn't like about the anime is I hope like somebody fan makes him maturing through like his journey up to where he is now. Like, I feel like that would make more sense.
I mean, I've seen online where someone just draws what he would look like. He'd be like in his 30s right now.
Dang, I bet he would be. He'd be almost like 40.
Yeah.
Like, honestly, so how many years is it? 24 years?
24.
I think I would have enjoyed it if he grew up to be at least like 16, 17.
Yeah, that would have been like fine.
Teenager age, right? Like, seeing him go through all of that with like everyone, to see them like be mature and older. That would be so sweet.
Cool.
Like, seeing him actually like super level-headed. He has so much wisdom and experience of him actually being read, like the master.
Yeah.
Like, that'd be
and
so sick.
The thing is, it kind of was like that in a certain sense, all the way up to XYZ, the anime. That's how it kind of was. He had all this knowledge, even though maybe fighting people, it would have, you know, gimmicky, not really. He's beating all of them.
Like, super overpowered.
There's this one episode where it really kind of tied the whole series from the beginning of the anime.
Really?
Where, because he was, I think, preparing for the League in XYZ, and he got his Charizard. He finally got it back. It came back, and they were showing, like, past of, like, when he released him, and, like, how when he came back, he was super strong from training with the Charizards there. And so, like, it really tied together up to XYZ, but then after that, it just...
it started over.
Just done. It kind of like they resetted the whole series.
Yeah.
With just cameos of people from the past in there.
Right.
Which made me really mad.
Oh. Gosh. I mean, that would be so cool. If we could just see the older, mature, OP Ash. And then Pikachu probably like, I'm old.
Like a buffed out bee.
What else? One thing I hated about the game, in continuity with the anime, were the freaking the voices, the sound effects of the Pokemon.
I wish they did the
voice actors of the anime into the game.
Yeah.
And I wish they did that now, and they don't.
There's only one they do, and that's Pikachu.
It's Pikachu.
It's the only one. And Eevee.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But
all the other ones, they have their own video game sound. I remember first playing Pokemon, I got so confused with the noises that they make, because I was expecting like Squirtle doing like the squirt squirt, or the Charmander the
squirt squirt,
or the Charmander the Charmander, all that stuff. And then when you hear their noises, and it's like, really? It kind of takes you out of...
It took me out of it a little bit.
I think some of it has to do with, like, think about the time these games were made. Right?
That's true.
And so the kind of technology that you had to put in a little square at the time would I think the amount of data and processing for that little square is a lot. So I think that's why they kind of went with the
just like the normal sprites, like the the little sound bit.
Just sound bits, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I mean, but definitely now I could see the point of making it.
They should. They still don't. Like Charmander, Bulbasaur, Squirtle, still
and
the same sound effect.
Maybe it's because they want to separate the anime from the game. Because there was, did you ever watch Pokemon Origins?
Yeah.
That the sounds of the Pokemon in there are like the sounds in the game.
In the game. Oh, that's true.
And so maybe they really wanted to separate, because if they did it the same, then might as well put Ash as a character to play in Kanto in Red and Blue.
Right. Instead, he's actually red.
Yeah. And yeah, so in Origins, they showed the animated version of the game itself. And so maybe that's
right.
Why.
Yeah, yeah.
I think.
I heard the manga. I've read like up to like maybe when he gets to the Kanto League. It's epic. The artwork. Like I wish that's what they look like in game too. Like it's very, they're very like more, they're more slender and sharp looking. And Ash looks super cool as a kid. But the manga, if you ever get a chance, read the manga. I heard it's like epic. Up to like where it is now. What else? The first Pokemon movie. Did you watch it in theaters?
I don't remember if I watched it in theaters.
Mewtwo Strikes Back.
Dude, you weren't even alive yet.
Oh my gosh, that movie is so good. I love that movie.
No, Tooper was born.
Mewtwo Strikes Back was the second one.
First one.
Yeah, because that's... That's
one. Pokemon the movie 2000.
Yeah.
Oh, that's right. Okay.
Yep. Yeah. It's kind of weird how they did that, right?
I don't remember seeing it in the movies, though.
I watched Mewtwo Strikes Back in the theaters.
Did you cry?
I cried like a
baby. That must have been insane.
I wept so hard.
That was so cool to watch it.
My parents were like kind of confused.
That's what I was just thinking to myself. Yeah. I was like, can you just imagine like all the adults in the movie theater? Like, dude, what the F?
It still makes me like kind of teary to this day. Because I was like, because up to that point, the anime was pretty far ahead. It wasn't, so Mewtwo Strikes Back and the anime timeline, kind of weird. Ash fights Mewtwo.
Yeah, in the gym.
So Mewtwo Strikes Back is before that, obviously, right. And then he forgets, right? So like seeing the relationship he had with Pikachu then, like, is like super solid. And then the fact that like he almost dies and Pikachu cries, you're just like,
and then all the other Pokemon start crying,
right? And just like,
that,
oh god,
so
here it goes. And the animation was so good.
Oh, all the tears,
gosh,
just flowing
into
his body.
His, like,
yeah, his
body, his like frozen body, his and like trying to revive him.
Yeah.
And I guess I really wasn't like picking up at the time as a kid. I was like, this is how the anime ends. Like, this is how the show ends. He's dead. Like, oh my god, he's gonna die.
You thought this was it.
Yeah. That's why like it made me cry even harder. I was like, no. It was like in the anime, what made you cry was when he said bye to Butterfree.
Okay, that was another, I have an issue with this.
Uh-huh.
You have like Butterfree is actually a pretty strong Pokemon.
Heck
yeah,
yeah,
I use Butterfree in my
Blazers. People actually use Butterfree in pro league games.
Mm-hmm.
Like,
really?
Oh yeah. Like because don't want to get too much into it. Like now individual stats matter as opposed to type. So depending on the type of Butterfree you catch, you look at the stats, like especially special attack, special defense.
And its nature.
Those matter like crazy. Like I kind of had a hard time adjusting to it because I'm always like, type's gonna trump you, whatever.
All the time, yeah.
But even like super effective hits do like almost barely do any damage to like special defense Pokemon.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, so Butterfree's like strong.
Yeah.
Right.
So my issue is, okay, so we all agree that Butterfree's a pretty strong.
Yes, I loved using Butterfree.
I hate the fact that he always gives up his like strongest Pokemon.
I know.
That
Oh, yeah. Butterfree, Charizard.
When he gave up Butterfree and Charizard. When he gave up Charizard.
He gave away, like, a lot.
I was so mad.
Or at least, like,
Pidgeot.
Yeah. When that happened, I was not expecting that.
Dude, why?
Mm-hmm.
And it still irks me to this day that he's, like, lets him go. I mean, I understand, but, like.
He wants him to be free.
Be free and happy, but.
Come on, bro. Now. Don't let them go. Just be like, yeah, you can go. Just come back.
Yeah, like when I need you.
When I need you, you better come back.
Just give him back to Professor Oak for all his Pokemon go to at the end of the enemies.
That's kind of what happens with Charizard, though. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I know, when he let go Butterfree, I was crushed.
But see, the thing about Charizard, though, is like he let him go because Charizard himself wanted to get stronger.
Yeah, true.
And he did. That was one of my favorite episodes in XYZ. Maybe the whole anime, because it was so epic when he came back and he was just super strong fighting Dragonite. Oh my gosh, that was
XYZ is when they introduced Mega Evolve, right?
Yes.
Or Black and White.
No, XYZ introduced Mega Evolutions.
And that
it was Black and White, then XYZ.
That's when Charizard learned how to Mega Evolve too, right?
Yes, I want to say yes. He did Mega Evolve him. But yeah, that whole scene and showing the flashbacks and like an updated version of what the original anime looked like, it was so cool.
I'm going to have to look that episode up.
You
really do.
It's a good. We should watch it after this because it's really good.
Yeah.
And the fight was epic.
The anime, like, I wish I kept up with it throughout the years. But like the OG, like Kanto, Johto, what was the island one?
The Orange Island.
Orange Islands. Yeah.
Like, those three had me, like...
I think after the Orange Islands, that's when I started falling off the anime train.
Yeah. And it was coincidentally the same time I started falling off of, like, the game itself. Because, like you said, it was, like, repetitive and it started getting kind of weird. And I can't... I want to say the resurgence of, like, my interest in Pokemon probably Pokemon Go.
Yeah,
like, honestly.
That was big.
Yeah. Right?
Yeah.
That
was the game. 2016.
That was like 2015.
2015.
Yeah, 2015.
That was a crazy awesome summer.
Yeah, and like the best part was that since it came out on my birthday, oh, that was so cool. I thought that was so awesome.
Really?
Yeah, right on my birthday, I remember I downloaded the game because they were like, it's released.
Nice. And to talk about like how we fell off of Pokemon because of like this new generation stuff, I still can't get behind them.
I can't either. It's just, like I said earlier, it's like it's getting lazy.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Come on now, like an ice cream Pokemon, really?
I mean,
that's like the generation now.
Yeah, I literally trash.
Black and White had some trash bag. Weird Pokemon, I think.
So that's like one of the main reasons why we're bringing you on today's episode, because you can talk about.
Because I can talk about all of them.
So go ahead.
I can go through all of them. Okay, I think it went downhill, Black and White, a little bit. I really like the game, but some of the Pokemon were a little weird. But at the same time, that was when they started to introduce more animations in the battle. So, like, the Pokemon would actually move, like Charizard would open his mouth to do a flamethrower or something like that. And more animations when you're flying to different places. It would be a little cutscene of, like, just a silhouette of just a thing. It wasn't really the Pokemon itself.
Right.
But it would just show, and it was kind of cool. It was more 3D. It looked more 3D and everything. But, again, Vanillice and Vanillux, that was a little pushing it.
Pushing
I think they are really pushing it.
Yeah.
For sure.
And I don't know what
like
they were.
Are we gonna start doing like just the actual ice cream itself? not including the cone, just
like really
the blob.
Funny, when we were talking about it in the car, you know, yesterday, it's like, what are they gonna come out with next? You know, like a car Pokemon or
a plane. Yeah,
you know,
I wouldn't be surprised either. I wouldn't be surprised if they came up even with the plane Pokemon. I wouldn't be surprised.
It's kind of weird. It's like you have almost infinite possibilities of the kind of Pokemon you can make, just because there are infinite possibilities doesn't mean you should.
Right.
Because it gets just too weird.
There's some boundaries that you can overcross, yeah. I think.
Mm-hmm.
Trying it's to like, make inanimate objects into a Pokemon itself. Pokemon.
Force yourself for a franchise
yeah.
if you don't have to.
Mm-hmm.
Just doing it for the sake of like a cash grab now at this point.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Hey, look at that. You've made it to the end of part one of this episode. Kudos to you for sticking it out this long. We really appreciate you listening to our podcast. Be sure to check out part two. And if you like what you hear, be sure to spread the word to all of your kawaii friends. Arigatou gozaimasu.